Welcome to the UCM Interface Bible Study, isang conversational expository Bible study program hatid sa inyo ng UCM Interface, ang Young Adults Ministry ng Union Church of Manila. We do our best to study context and let scripture speak for itself. Ang programang ito ay isang teaching ministry ng Union Church of Manila, a church of many nations committed to making disciples who are transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hello everybody again! My name is Gooch, isa akong commercial voice artist.
Ako naman si Rainier, I'm Young Adult Ministry Director ng Union Church of Manila.
At ako naman si Gunnar, isang IT worker based in Ortigas.
Okay, welcome again everyone. Tuloy ulit tayo sa ating pag-aaral ng Philippians. And for this episode, we'll be discussing Philippians chapter 3 verses 1 to 7. But before that, mag-recap muna tayo ng previous episode natin. That would be Philippians 2, 19 to 30. Ano yung naalala niyo from that episode, mga big takeaways?
Yeah, yung dalawang characters na sina Timothy at Epaphroditus. Si Timothy, popular yan. Kilalang kilala siya sa Christian circle. At even yung mga Christians natin na nagbabasa ng Bible, alam mo agad kung sino si Timothy.
Right,
or
right,
at least
right.
You know something about him.
Tsaka maraming mga tao nga, pangalan nga, Timothy. Right?
Exactly. Oh, pero itong si Epaphroditus, he's a virtual unknown. Pero yeah, parang dito nga lang yata siya nabanggit sa Philippians sa pagkakaalam ko.
Yeah,
pero
tama.
Ang gusto ko dito sa dalawang characters na to, si Timothy and Epaphroditus, itong dalawang servants na to, talagang pinamuhay nila ang kanilang posture ay yung posture ng isang servant at yung kanilang pamumuhay ay naaayon dun sa hugis ng krus.
The V trajectory that we would
right,
keep saying.
Right. Kaya nga yung ibig sabihin niya, no, yung kanilang mga aspirations, longings, desires, even their resources, etc., their identity, lahat ito, it's claimed by the cross.
Yeah.
Hindi ito sa kanila, kundi it is now claimed by the cross. So it's a cross-directed life.
Ako naman yung ano, si Paul, no, wala siyang pretensions talaga sa sarili niya, and he sees the Philippian church, Epaphroditus, Timothy, lahat yan equals fellow soldiers niya, fellow brothers. Hindi niya tinataas yung sarili niya when compared or put side by side with these people. And how he appreciated yung gesture ng Philippians na pinadala nila si Epaphroditus sa kanya. He appreciated it so much na he returned the favor by sending someone that is equally worthy. Actually, he sent his best also in the person of Timothy to encourage the Philippian church as well. So,
yeah,
parang napakagandang example ng kung gaano magmahal, no, sa isa't isa. Magmahal ang simbahan, no, for Paul to let go of his most trusted aid so that he can bless yung church na naging napakabait din sa kanya. So, sana ganun tayo lahat. Ganun tayo as churches. Ganun tayo ka-excited mag-serve at mag-minister sa bawat isa.
Yung sa akin, I think, very interesting tong mention kay Epaphroditus kasi yung character niya, yung willingness niya to be inconvenienced, to suffer, and even to lose his life, at least dito, because of sickness, all for the purpose of being able to serve. And para kay Paul, what most people look for, kung let's say resume, mga credentials, achievement, pero sa kanya, I think this is what he was looking for most, the heart of a servant.
Right.
I think for Paul, this is the most important thing sa resume.
That's right.
And so, even in terms of leadership, Timothy, Epaphroditus, this is like number one thing that Paul was looking for. This is the number one credential that they must have. V trajectory.
Yeah.
So, tuloy tayo sa ating discussion ng Philippians 3, 1 to 7. Pero before that, let's start with our scripture reading in 3, 2, 1.
Philippians 3, 1 to 7. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write this again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, exult in Christ Jesus, and do not rely on human credentials. Though mine too are significant. If someone thinks he has good reasons to put confidence in human credentials, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I lived according to the law as a Pharisee. In my zeal for God, I persecuted the church. According to the righteousness stipulated in the law, I was blameless. But these assets I have come to regard as liabilities because of Christ.
Okay, simulan natin itong section na to na 1 to 7, although ang talagang tatalakayan natin is 1 to 6. We're just using verse 7 as a transition kasi medyo bitin kung tapusin natin sa verse 6 at napakahaba naman kumpletuhin itong buong section na to until verse 14. So ang gagawin natin for this episode, we'll do 1 to 7, although verse 7 will serve as a transition for the next episode or part 2 of this discussion.
Alright.
So ngayon, ewan ko kung anong nakalagay dun sa inyong Bible, sa inyong translation, kasi ang unang-unang salita sa verse 1 dito sa chapter 3 ay further.
Sa akin, finally.
Finally. Kasi kung further, meron pang, kumbaga, dinadagdag ko lang, yung finally naman, last point na to. Last na, promise, last na to.
So nga, finally nga, pero alaati pa lang yata nung letter.
Alaati pa lang yan.
May shoutout pa sa dulo eh, yata.
Kaya siguro itong further ang pinili ng NIV. Although it also has that sense na matatapos na ako sa gusto kong sabihin, pero sa totoo lang hindi pa. Medyo si Paul ganyan, mahaba talaga yan eh. Pero konektado pa rin siya sa lahat ng nasabi na niya, particularly in chapter 2. Nandun pa rin yung sinasabi nating verses 6 to 11. Ito yung hub ng buong letter, yung V trajectory. Actually, nandito pa rin yan. Particularly when we get to his resume. So, simulan natin. Ano? Sabi nga, further or finally. Ano yung sinabi niya? Finally, my brothers and sisters, what?
Rejoice in the Lord.
Ah, rejoice in the Lord. Pero kung tutuloy mo kasi yan, rejoice in the Lord. Why? It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. You rejoice because it is a safeguard for you. Ang weird. Kung hindi mo alam kung ano pa yung mga sasabihin niya.
Okay.
Rejoicing in the Lord is a safeguard for you because meron kasing aatake sa kanila.
Right.
O umaatake na. Kaya itong rejoicing in the Lord is a safeguard. Wow, paano kaya nangyari yun?
Kaya yung sinasabi na to write this again is no trouble to me. Kasi paulit-ulit niya yung sinasabi. So it's like, alam kong marami kong best sinasabi pero...
Sabihin ko ulit.
Kasi importante itong rejoice na to sa inyo.
Oh, because this time, itong rejoicing in the Lord, hindi ito yung ang saya-saya, ang happy-happy. Kasi medyo ganun yung pagkaintindi natin sa rejoice. Pero it should be this whole phrase, rejoice in the Lord. Eh, ano bang ibig sabihin ng rejoice in the Lord? Hindi ito having fun. This is not simply to be happy. Ito yung background niyan. There's this Old Testament idea. What is this rejoicing in the Lord? Let's read Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10.
Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength."
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Pero may mga binanggit siya dyang mga bagay-bagay bago dumating sa joy of the Lord is your strength. They were asked to enjoy choice foods, sweet drinks. Nagsa-celebrate kasi sila dito. Tapos, share nyo rin yung mga bagay na ito. Kasi this day is holy to the Lord. Hindi tayo dapat nalulungkot. But because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Ibig sabihin nito, there's something to do with the provisions. They're acknowledging God's provisions and that's a reason for rejoicing. And that the joy of the Lord, it gives you strength.
Tsaka ang context nitong Nehemiah, di ba? They were rebuilding the walls. They were tired and stressed out kasi they were taking shifts, guarding and building. So kung hindi ka nagbibuild, nag-guard ka ng wall. Yet they were still surrounded by so many enemies.
Right.
So this message is very precious sa mga Israelites kasi, you know, ewan kung kakatapos lang ng gawa nila ng wall nito. But they were celebrating and Nehemiah was reminding them that, alam ko pagod na kayo, but get your strength replenished by the Lord.
Because if you're rejoicing in the Lord, look at all these provisions, yan ang nagbibigay sa'yo ng lakas.
A gratefulness.
Ngayon, katunog din ito is Psalm 64, verse 10, at saka 1 Chronicles 16:27.
So this is Psalm 64, verse 10. "The godly will rejoice in the Lord and take shelter in Him. All the morally upright will boast."
Who has that capacity to rejoice in the Lord?
the ones who take shelter in Him.
Because they are righteous. The ones who take shelter in Him are righteous.
Yeah.
They don't take shelter elsewhere.
Right.
They only choose to take shelter in the Lord.
And also ito, similar din kay Nehemiah. It's about how there's a lot of evil men, evil doers, sharpen their tongues like a sword. Diba? Parang may mga kalaban around eh. So David is saying
that
the godly will rejoice in the Lord and take shelter in Him. In the midst of all that.
So parang katunog pa rin siya nung strength, because when you are in the shelter of God, aba parang secure na secure ka, because somebody is protecting you. That is the source of your hope and your strength to accomplish whatever you need to accomplish. Then in 1 Chronicles 16:27,
splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place.
So where do you find strength and joy?
In the presence of God.
Kumbaga, this is found in the temple or in God's dwelling place. The temple also means the presence of the Lord. That's where you find strength and joy. Kaya ngayon sabi, rejoice in the Lord. And this rejoicing has something to do with the next verse. And that's why Paul said, it is a safeguard for you. Ano nga ba ang sitwasyon nila? Kasi, sabi nga ni Paul, winarningan ko na kayo dito in the past. Ngayon, ihahain na natin kung ano talaga itong mga problemang ito. And at the moment, itong mga Philippians, dahil nga sa persecution, medyo dismal yung kanilang mga circumstances. Una, wala naman silang political influence sa Philippi. Pag meron ng api sa kanila, wala naman silang tatakbuhan. Wala naman silang mga political connections.
Right.
Kaya ang sinasabi ni Paul, ang lakas ninyo, makukuha ninyo sa Panginoon. So rejoice in the Lord. And this will then protect you. This will be your safeguard. Dun sa sasabihin niya sa verse 2.
Okay. So ito na, ilalatag na niya yung mga problems.
Ilalatag na niya. Kasi nga, alam ko, mahina kayo. Wala naman kayong political power dyan sa Philippi. Wala kayong pinagmamalaking political status. Siyempre, nung panahon ngayon na wala naman pinagkaiba sa panahon natin ngayon, aba, kailangan meron kang padrino. Diba? Kasi kung wala kang padrino,
sorry.
Wala justisya. Sorry na lang. Wala magpoprotekta sa'yo. Sino ba kasi yung umaatake sa kanila? So, Paul gives a warning in verse 2. Ano yung sabi niya?
Verse 2, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh.
Sa verse 2, pag hindi mo pa binasa yung verse 3, hindi mo pa alam kung sino-sino itong mga to. Pero tingnan muna natin sa verse 2 kung ano yung mga ginamit niyang descriptors, pan-describe dito sa mga umaatake. Kasi sabi, watch out. Kapag ikaw sinabi ng watch out, ano yung sabihin?
Babala.
Babala.
Nakamamatay.
Oo, di ba? Iingat kayo. Kasi ang umaaway sa inyo, mga ano daw? Una,
dogs.
Ay, dogs. Grabe naman. Ito, linawin natin ha. Kasi ngayon wala nang impact yung dogs eh. Watch out for those dogs. Sa dami na may pets ngayon na dogs, wala nang impacto. Sa panahon ngayon, lalo kung dito ka sa Metro Manila, pag sinabing dog, hindi yan kasing lala nung impact na pagkagamit ni Paul dito. Ano ba kasi yung dogs nung panahon nila? Una, mga dogs, they're scavengers. Kumakain sila ng unclean food. Scavenger, so mga basura, wala naman mga dog food nung araw na special, di ba? So para sa mata ng isang Jew, a dog is unclean. At usually, kung ikaw isang Judyo, sino ang tinatawag mong dog?
Gentiles.
Kasi mga pagans yan, marurumi ang mga yan.
Kaya yung isang illustration ni Jesus, yung si Lazarus na merong nililik pa yung kanyang source ng dogs.
Yes, dun sa parable of the rich man and Lazarus.
Kawawang kawawa talaga. Oh.
Kasi mahirap na nga si Lazarus. Degrading naman na, an unclean animal, a dog was licking his.
Right.
So it's unfit for human society. They're not allowed to live in a Jewish community. Kaya ang ironic pa nga, yun nga, ang tawag nila sa Gentiles ay dogs. So, surprise, surprise kung sino yung tinutukoy na dogs dito. Pero ituloy muna natin. Bukod sa dogs, ano pa yung ginamit ni Paul na descriptor? Ano yung sumunod?
Evil doers.
Wow.
Sign evil workers.
Evil workers. Alam niyo bang ito yung salitang ito, dito lang ginamit ni Paul. Oh. Sa mga letters niya, hindi niya ginagamit yung evil doers na yan. Pag evil doer ka, in general, ano ka? How would you describe that person?
criminal.
Therefore, you are opposed to
God.
Yon, you are anti-God and you are against the law of God.
Right.
Unclean ka na, wala kang kwenta. Tapos anti-God ka pa. Kung anti-God ka, what do you deserve?
Destruction.
Yes, punishment.
Judgment.
Ngayon, yung huli niyang gagamitin, lumalapit na siya dun sa identity ng mga evildoers at mga asong ito. Ang ginamit niyang term.
Beware of those who mutilate the flesh.
Ay, those who mutilate the flesh. So this is an oblique reference to something
which is on the text verse.
Mas malinaw. Kasi pwede mo rin gamitin itong isa instead of a mutilators of the flesh. Pwede siyang parang sinusugatan mo yung iba. Pero itong mutilators of the flesh, of course, ang reference nito, it's a play on words, but it's referring to a very important identity marker for Jewish males.
Circumcision.
Yon. Ito yung nagbibigay ng status sa'yo. As a member of God's family, you are circumcised, you are a descendant of Abraham, therefore you belong to God's family. So this is a very important identity marker for Jewish males. Pero ang term na ginamit ni Paul, buti sana kung basta circumcision lang, but you are wounding others.
Mutilate the flesh.
I have a question. Kasi diba, Paul himself circumcised Timothy when he was about to bring him in the ministry.
Right.
The purpose being he wanted to bring him to where the synagogues were.
Yes.
So, and yet, dito sa portion naman na to ng Philippians, parang galit na galit si Paul dun sa practice ng circumcision.
Right.
So, how do we reconcile those?
Mm. Yes, kasi magkaiba yung audience. So, ang audience ni Paul dun sa synagogue are not Christian Jews. Here, we are dealing with Jews who are already Christians. Or at least they profess to be Christians. You get it?
Ah, yung nagdadagdag ng ano.
Oh, oh.
You follow Christ plus circumcise.
At saka, ito namang si Timothy was a Jew. Ang nanay niya ay Jewess. So, Jew siya. Kung i-circumcise siya, eh okay lang. Yun naman ang ethnic identity ni Timothy. But here, we are dealing with Jewish Christians or at least Jews who profess to be Christians. And they are imposing circumcision and not just circumcision, but the Torah or the Law of Moses, ini-impose sila to sa mga Gentile Christians. Magkaibang magkaiba yan. This is a question about identity. If you truly belong to God's family, kulang pa kayo. Dagdagan pa natin itong circumcision.
Kasi credentials talaga siya.
Oo. Kasi ano yan? Nakapasok na lang kayo sa pamilyang to nang hindi man lang kayo nasusugatan. Eh, sugatan namin kayo. Yun yung kaaway nila dito. Or umaaway rather sa Gentile Christians sa Philippi. Kung sinabi niya, you are dogs, evildoers, mutilators of the flesh, eh kung ang kalaban mo, Jewish Christians, para namang napakatapang ng pananalita ni Paul. Medyo maanghang yan. He's actually referring to Jewish Christians. Tawagin ba namang aso? Offensive yun, ha? Kung Jew ka, offensive yun, tawagin kang dog.
Yeah.
Tapos, offensive din lalo kung isa kang
evil worker.
O anti-God, talaga. Jew nga kami, tapos anti-God, tapos kung mutilators of the flesh, parang binabaliwala mo yung circumcision at parang wala siyang value.
Tsaka parang binabastos mo yung practice namin.
Oo.
May ganong sense.
Oo, ang tapang naman ni Paul, no? Yung mga words na ginagamit niya. No? Masyadong matalas. Pero bakit niya tatawagin dogs, evildoers, and mutilators of the flesh itong mga to? Ini-impose nila yung Torah or the practice, the observance of the Mosaic Law. Bakit ganito na lang ang pananalita ni Paul?
Di ba kasi by putting others or additional conditions to the gospel, binababa nila yung, ano, yung glory ni Jesus and even confusing yung mga tao and maybe even leading them astray.
Ano na to eh? Heresy na to eh. Yun ang ibig sabihin ni Paul dito. Kasi kung hindi yan heresy at kumbaga eh, difference of opinion lang yan. Hindi niya yan tatawaging dogs. Hindi niya tatawaging evildoers. Hindi niya tatawaging mutilators of the flesh. Mabigat ang issue na to. You are actually confronting people who are propagating heresy. It's
wow.
A false teaching.
Itong timing ng ano na to, pag tapos na ba yung Council of Jerusalem nito?
Tapos na, matagal nang tapos. Nakakulong na
si Paul.
So sabihin,
in-establish na from the very start, hindi in-insist ng apostles.
Hindi
magpa-circumcise kayo.
Oo. Okay, isa pang malinaw dyan. Halimbawa, tumunta tayo sa Galatians para malinaw lang. Para mapatunayan natin na hindi na talaga ini-impose yung circumcision. Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. Okay, kasi ito yung humarap si Paul, kasama si Barnabas, at saka si Titus. Humarap sila sa apostles. Punta sila ng Jerusalem. Pakibasa ng angular yung chapter 2, verse 3 of Galatians.
But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek.
Ituloy mo pa sa verse 4. Bakit kasi mahalaga itong sinabi ni Paul na even Titus was not compelled to be circumcised?
Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved in you.
May nagko-confront na sa kanila, mga nagkakalat din ng isang heresy. Itong heresy na to, pinipilit na, si Titus, Gentile, hindi, dapat ano rin yan.
Hindi yan magiging kasama sa family of God kung hindi niya
pwede,
gagawin.
Yan, kailangan yan, tinutuli muna. Ang linaw nasa Jerusalem sila, harap na ng mga apostles hindi naman nila kinumpel or ni-require si Titus na magpa-circumcise. So malinaw na noon pa man, and this was even before the council in Jerusalem na nakarecord sa Book of Acts, this was even before that, meron ng ganitong pantanggap sa mga Gentiles na hindi kailangan, they're not required to be circumcised. Ito lang yung kasi gusto ko rin itong dalhin sa sitwasyon or sa ating current setting. Ewan ko kung aware kayo, nandito na sila sa Pilipinas. Yan ganyang paniniwala. May movement sa US and it's called, well, ang isang label ay Hebrew Roots Movement or ibang tawag sa kanila rin ay Torahism.
Oh, okay.
Oo. At nandito na sila. Meron na dito sa Philippines and I know of at least two locations here in Metro Manila. Na yan ang mismo ang tinuturo nila. And you know, our brothers and sisters, yung mga nakikinig sa atin, must be warned. They need to watch out for these dogs, these evildoers, these mutilators of the flesh, because they're here. Noong panahon ni Paul, tapos sa panahon natin, meron ding ganyan. Na yan ang tinuturo. Na kailangan, if you're a Christian, you need to subject yourself to the law. Pinipilit nila na kailangan na observe mo ang Passover, lahat yan, yung mga Jewish festivals, kosher food, etc., etc. Yun ang pinipilit nila ngayon. Yung mga nag-i-impose na yan, itong Torahism and Hebrew Roots Movement, they're dogs. They're unclean. They are not promoting holiness. And they are anti-God. They're practicing something that's totally meaningless.
Wow.
So, verse 3, Gutsch, pakibasa.
For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, exult in Christ Jesus, and do not rely on human credentials. So kaya meaningless is because the real thing has come.
Oh yeah. Sabi nga niya, sa totoo lang, tayo ang circumcision. Well, Paul's a Jew and therefore he's circumcised. But here he is addressing Gentile Christians and the male Gentile Christians are not circumcised and yet he calls them the circumcised or we are the circumcision. So he is including the uncircumcised, the literally, physically uncircumcised.
We are the family of God.
Yon.
This is it.
Right. So nag-iba ang definition Or sabihin na natin hindi nag-iba, maybe the proper term is he expanded the definition of God's people, but still using circumcision as a metaphor because that's the identity marker for God's people. Pero ngayon, ina-apply niya na yan kahit doon sa mga hindi naman circumcised. We are the circumcision. We are God's people. We are members of God's family.
Tsaka yung emphasis na yung marker for identity or identification into the family of Christ is not something external.
That's right.
It's internal.
It's internal.
The ones who worship by the Spirit of God.
Oh, we who serve God by His Spirit. Sabi ng serve, but it can actually also mean worship.
Sa ESV worship eh.
Ayan, tama-tama. Okay, sa NIV yun na ginamit. Naaalala niyo nung kausap ni Jesus yung Samaritan woman?
Yes.
Oh, yun nga, inaalala ko rin eh.
Tingnan natin yung John chapter 4, 23 to 24.
But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.
Oh, tingnan niyo nga. Pero ito yung din sinabi ni Jesus. Iakyat ko lang dun sa verse 21 para maintindihan natin talaga.
Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem."
Okay, because the Samaritans have their own place of worship.
Uh-huh.
May history yan, kasi nung na-divide na yung kingdom, the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, then the southern kingdom, which was known as
Judah.
Dati, tumatawid pa papuntang Jerusalem yung mga taga Northern Kingdom. Eh, sabi, teka lang, baka mamaya mawalan sila ng loyalty sa atin.
Ah, hindi na bumalik yung mga to.
Di tayo na lang tayong sarili natin. Kaya nagkaroon ng dalawang worship sites. Ang point naman dito, tingnan mo ha, neither on this mountain, and Jesus was in Samaria, referring to the worship site na ginawa ng Samaritans, nor in Jerusalem, referring to the, what was that in Jerusalem?
Temple.
Darating panahon na hindi na kailangan din ng temple. Okay? E kaso, itong mga Hebrew Roots Movement, hinihintay nila yung third temple. Kailangan daw maitayo na yung third temple.
For true worship to happen.
Eh, syempre, ganun. E kaso, sinabi na ni Jesus true worship.
Hindi na kailangan ng temple.
Hindi na. We will worship Yahweh neither on this site na ginawa ninyong Samaritans, nor in Jerusalem, referring to the temple. So wala na. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth has nothing to do with the Mosaic law. Wala na yun. Kaya nga, sinabi rin sa Hebrews na obsolete na kasi ang Old Covenant. Kaya meron ng New Covenant.
Hebrews 8:13, "When he speaks of a new covenant, he makes the first obsolete. Now what is growing obsolete and aging is about to disappear."
Diba? Sabihin, tapos na yung purpose nung Mosaic law. Kasi ito namang law and prophets, kung maalala natin, di ba yung nakasalubong ni, or nakasalubong na the meet ni Jesus dun sa road to Emmaus,
Luke
24, sinabi naman,
"It's all about me."
Right! The end goal of the Torah, the end goal of the prophets, or let's just call it the Tanakh, okay, the law and the prophets, the end goal is Jesus. Siya ang tinuturo nun.
Siya lang yung the only credential needed to be part of the family of God.
Kaya niya na sinabi niya, "We who worship God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus." We boast in Christ Jesus. We do not boast in...
on human credentials.
Human credentials.
That's
we don't.
Right.
We don't put confidence in the flesh. Pero sabi niya sa verse 4, "Though I myself have reasons for that confidence." Kumbaga, kung magpapayabangan din lang naman tayo. Medyo nakakalamang ako. Kasi kung pag-uusapan din lang naman ay yung mga identity markers or these Jewish marks of prestige.
Marami na ako niyan.
Ay, nako. Pick, gusto niyo bang makinig sa aking autobiographical sketch?
Ito ang aking CV.
Pero bago tayo pumunta dyan sa kanyang CV, ito lang yung tanong ko. Bakit kaya appealing yung ganitong may requirements, sundin pa natin ito? Eh samantalang, you have liberty in Christ. You are free in Christ. Bakit kailangan ibalik dun sa mga rigid laws, mga requirements ng law, na by the way, doesn't really apply to any Gentile because that's the covenant of Yahweh with the Jews, not with the Gentiles. But anyway, what is so appealing with a set of rules?
May dalawa akong theories dyan.
Okay.
One is, as humans, fallen people, sanay tayo sa transactional things. Buong buhay natin, you know, you want to get bread, you pay for it. You want to get food, you pay for it. You work for your company and then the company pays you a salary.
Yeah.
What Jesus Christ is offering is so unbelievable na ang hirap i-grasp ng mga minds natin, ng our little minds, na you put your faith in Jesus, give your allegiance to Him, and He gives you all these things.
All spiritual blessings.
All spiritual blessings. No, kahit na hindi magandang, ano, it's not visible talaga, hindi mo nakikita agad. You just trust Him. In the end, you can be rest assured na makukuha mo yun. So that's why we try to reassure ourselves by, you know, giving back, quote-unquote, no? Doing these things para ma-reassure tayo na, yes, talaga ibibigay sa akin to ni Jesus kasi I did this and that and this and that in addition to faith. No?
That's
one.
Right.
Second is we cling to these externalities then kasi to feed our own vanity.
Ayun.
Kasi kung puro spiritual, paano may didistinguish yung sarili mo versus others? Maganda yung meron kang physical manifestation like, you know, you wear a certain hat, wear certain clothes, speak a certain way, no, to identify yourself or others.
Okay.
Sa akin, yung
okay.
Naalala ko lang dito is si the late Tim Keller had a preaching about Naaman.
Si Naaman. Naaman.
Naaman. The one who had leprosy.
Oh, tama.
And then he was talking about how sinabi sa kanya nung prophet, si Elisha, parang ano kailangan kong gawin? Sabi ni Naaman.
Maghugas ka.
Maghugas ka. Diyan lang oh. Diyan ka maghugas. Parang,
huh?
Yan lang. Yan lang. Yung point ni Keller is yung hindi makapaniwala na
ganun kasimple.
Ganun kasimple lang yun. Don't I have to work? Like I have to do an epic quest to get
kasi,
this feeling?
Mas maganda nga naman yung river dun sa Damascus. Eh bakit dyan lang?
Oo. Dyan lang. Yung napakasimple na ganyan lang. Tapos walang gagawin. Walang cost. Walang adventure. Walang journey. Epic challenge for me to get this miracle. Ganyan. So parang ganun yung point ni Keller. It's a beautiful message. Pero it's just to the point of Gunnar is there's this hunger for us to be part of that. Now, I deserve this.
Right. I contributed to this glory.
I contributed to this.
To the attainment of glory. I had contribution.
Yeah. May ambag ako dito.
May ambag ako dito. Kasi yan din yung, kung babalikan ko nga yung kwento nung how I started walking with Jesus. Diyan ako, nagkaroon ako ng problema talaga dun sa doktrina na tinuturo sa akin dun sa Sunday school. It was my first time to ever join a Sunday school class for college students. And everyone was just, you know, repeating this doctrine that you are saved by grace through faith. Sabi ko, antali naman yan masyado. Pinadadali nyo naman. So talagang hindi ako naniniwala. Eh kaso nga ang problema eh, pag nire-raise ko yung mga arguments ko, pinapanatan ako ng ano, Bible verses, lalo ako napipikon. Kasi ang dami nilang alam sa Bible. Sabi ko, tatalunin ko yung... Kaya nagsimula ako magbasa ng Bible. To prove them wrong. Pero yung pala, I was proven wrong. Pero matindi yun ha. Hindi ko tinanggap agad yun. It was painful to accept. Kasi paradigm shift yun eh. Eh, pag nagpa-paradigm shift ka, may anxiety ka dyan eh. Talaga ba? Hindi mo basta tatanggapin yun. So it took me a while. Parang ganito. Kaya tinanong ko yun eh. Bakit nga ba appealing sa atin yan? Mas maganda yung predictable eh. Kasi pag predictable din, ano ba? Rules, step one, step two, secure ka eh. Or you are in control. Kasi nga, nasunod ko naman eh. Wala akong may re-reklamo sa akin, nasunod ko lahat. Or something like that. So, puntahan na natin yung verses 5 to 6. Ito ngayon yung CV.
Speaking of somebody na nasunod lahat.
Oo, sige nga. Payabangan ba? Kayang-kaya ko to. Sabi ni Paul I have more. Sige, Gunnar, could you please read? Isa-isayin natin.
Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless.
Wow. He mentioned seven. The first three, lahat ito accidents of birth. Hindi niya pinili ito.
Right.
But the last four are choices. But achievements or choices in expressing his birthright because he's a Jew. So tingnan mo natin yung first three. Una ay...
Circumcised on the eighth day.
Circumcised on the eighth day. Kanino ba nagsimula yung practice na yan?
Kay Abraham.
Kay Abraham. Although, of course, it's not unique to the Hebrew people back in Abraham's day, Abraham's time, meron ding ibang cultures na nagpa-practice ng circumcision. So it's not unique to them. It's only unique in the sense that it became the symbol of their covenant with Yahweh.
Okay.
Yun lang yung uniqueness nun. But the practice itself is not unique to the Jews. So, sabi niya, yun ang unang requirement eh. Kailangan you have to be circumcised. And on the eighth day. And then, ano yung sumunod?
People of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. So, the people of God.
Oo, alam pa niya yung tribe niya.
At hindi lang people of God. Special to na yung tribe ni Benjamin.
Oo.
Marami yung mga bayani dito, di ba?
Yes. Tsaka the fact that you can still trace your lineage, mahalaga yan. Kasi, nung panahong ito, ang natetrace na lang nila yung galing Judah at kay Benjamin.
Oh.
Kasi, di ba, yung Northern Kingdom, inubos.
Northern Kingdom diba? Na nakuha ng Assyria, di ba?
Oo, nakuha ng Assyria. 10 tribes
so, yun. Siyempre, nawala na. Tapos naghalo-halo na yung intermarriage or something.
Sinait pa.
And even before pa naman kasi sila in exile yung Northern Kingdom, nahaluan na sila ng kung ano-ano. So nagkagulo-gulo na rin yung lineage nila.
Right. Oo, buti sana ako may DNA testing nung araw. Ito nga, nakakatuwa nga yun, na nanlinaw sa kanya. Nagaling siya sa tribe ni Benjamin. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews.
Purong-puro.
Purong-puro ako.
Walang halo.
Wala akong halo. Kung ethnicity at ethnicity din lang pag-uusapan, aba, ito na, nilalatan ko lang sa inyo. May masasabi ba kayo?
Oh, wala ka sa lolo ko, di ba?
Oh, di ba? Ngayon, puntahan natin yung pangalawang category kasi ito na yung expressions niya or how he expresses birthright.
I lived according to the law as a Pharisee.
Oy,
hindi siya casual.
Ah, hindi. Ano yan? Yung pa-attend lang ng mga small group.
Mga pinakabanal.
Oo, oh, ako yung teacher. Ano yan? Yung ano lang, nakikinig lang sa podcast? Nag-seminary ako. Pharisee eh. Hindi ako pipitsugin. Kung pag-uusapan yung credentials, Pharisee to eh. Tsaka alam niyo yung Pharisee, learned it talaga yung mga yan. Ang equivalent na yan sa panahon natin ngayon, may doctorate degree. Oo, kasi ito pa yan ah. Kapag ang inaral mo ay Torah or Law ni Moses, of course you are a lawyer.
Oh.
At hindi lang yun, theologian ka rin. Kasi lahat yun nasasaklawan ng Torah, ng Law ni Moses. You're both a theologian and a lawyer.
An expert in the law, sabi ni Jesus.
Oh. So hindi ito basta-basta. Okay, ano yung susunod?
Sabi niya, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church.
Teka, bakit ito credential? Ang weird, no? Ang kinoconfront niya nga dito, yung kinocompare niya kasi sarili niya dun sa mga Judaizers na to.
Yeah.
Bakit ito naging credential? Persecuting the church. Why did he include that? Kasi para dun sa mga Judaizers,
this is what is supposed to be done. This is a loyalty to Yahweh.
Yes, and loyalty to the covenant. Loyalty to the law.
So kumbaga, kayo nga, pinaghahalo nyo yung Judaism at Christianity. Eh ako, ayaw ko talaga ng Christianity. Gusto ko yung Jewish law lang ang in-enforce ko to the point of violence.
Dapat ma-explain kasi ito eh. Bakit ganito? Ba't kasama yung persecution? At bakit si Paul, a Pharisee, dumating dito sa punto na napaka-violent? Paliwanag ko yan pagkatapos nitong huli ng sinasabi na credential niya. Gutch, pakibasa.
According to the righteousness stipulated in the law, I was blameless.
Lahat yan, tinapat ko.
At tama pagsunod niya kasi Pharisee siya eh.
Oo. Baka malay mo, may mga Pharisee na nandadaya rin, di ba?
Hypocrite.
Oo, pero
siya hindi.
Oo.
I think that's a confusion that we have sometimes kasi when people say na Pharisee, mga hypocrites yan. Pero hindi naman lahat sila hypocrites eh.
No.
We usually equate Pharisee to hypocrites. Pero dito, he's like, no, I was super faithful to the law.
Pero bakit ganito si Paul dati? As a Pharisee, as a Jew, as someone who has zeal for the law, but at the same time wants to murder Christians, right? Bakit? Kasi ganito yan. We need to understand the background. Bakit ganito sila mag-isip at bakit sila naging coercive at sila naging violent? Ang hope kasi ng Pharisees and other sects in Judaism, their hope is the resurrection.
Okay.
And the resurrection is something that will happen in the end of human history. Meanwhile, they're living in the present evil age. So nahati sa dalawang aeons. There's the present evil age, and then there's the age to come. That age to come, the age of the Messiah, mangyayari yan. Ang una niyan, mangyayari na yung resurrection. But what is the resurrection? So, yung mga namatay na mga faithful Jews mabubuhay, and then will live in the age to come. But that age to come also means judgment of the wicked and the restoration of Israel. So ito, pag nagkaroon na ng resurrection, that means two things, judgment of the wicked and the restoration of Israel. Well, what does that look like? Ah, the glory days of King David and King Solomon. We will be at the head of all the nations. Our territory will return to, its expanded territory during the time of King Solomon. We'll be wealthy again. There's prosperity, etc., etc. And these Gentiles, tigok lahat yan.
Judgment.
Right. Pero may problema. In the present evil age, alam nila, kaya sila nasa ganyang sitwasyon that now they're being occupied, by the Gentiles, that the Holy Land is now being polluted with Gentiles, all these pagans. It's because it's their fault. They know that. And what was their fault? They had not been faithful to Yahweh. They did not obey the stipulations in the covenant. So ngayon, ang gusto nila para makarating na sila dyan sa resurrection, sa restoration of Israel, kailangan maging stricto na tayo. Sundin na natin yung law. Talagang sundin na natin. But of course, may exaggeration yan. Kasi hindi na pwede yung petics na pagsunod. So halimbawa, ikaw ay may bahay ka and you want to secure your house, eh pinasok ka na magnanakaw, your house is broken into, so anong ginawa mo? Nagpakabit ka ng CCTV camera. Eh napasok ka pa din. So what do you have to do next?
Electric fence.
Electric fence. Eh kaso, kaya niyang i-short circuit yun. Magnanakaw, nakapasok pa rin. Ano ba ang gagawin mo?
Dogs!
Dogs! Yan! Eh kaso, kaya niyang patulugin yung dog. So ano pa?
Security guard!
Yan, 24/7! Lahat gagawin mo just so you could protect your house so your house would never be broken into ever again. Ganun din ang mentality ng Pharisees. Let's add more layers to the law just to make sure that we are not or will never violate it. So anong ginawa nila? So halimbawa, oy mga pahugas-hugas ng kamay, 'di ba sinita pa nga nila yung disciples ni Jesus eh. Makain, di man lang naghuhugas ng kamay. Mga ganon. Actually, wala naman sa law yun. Tinagdag na lang na tradition yun ng mga Pharisees. Kasi nga, yung parang ayaw na nilang manakawan ulit yung bahay nila. You have to add more layers.
Para lang finally, they could usher in the time of the Messiah.
Yes, dadating na tong resurrection na to that we've all been looking forward to. Ganon yung mindset.
Well, finally, we have been faithful. Nagawa na namin lahat na kailangan namin gawin.
At saka bakit sila nagsususungit dun sa mga outcast, sa mga sinners? Ito naman yung approach nila. Hindi sa wala na silang pakialam dun sa mga yan. Patapon na kayo, you're hopeless. Para lang sila yung, alam yung mga magulang na masyadong stricto, na masyadong rigid sa rules nila. Na kapag violate mo, ikaw bata, may teenager na anak, palaging sinabi na umuwi ka ng alas 6 ng hapon, di ka umuwi. Anong gagawin ng magulang? Minsan dumarating na sa punto na ginugulpi na yung bata. The use of force. Ganun din ang mga Pharisees.
Ayaw nyo makinig ha? Ang kulit nyo eh. O sige.
Ayaw nyo makinig. But the point is, nagiging ganyan kami kastrikto, nagiging coercive kami kasi gusto namin na kayo ay sumunod. Di ba yung magulang na masyadong rigid? Ang gusto ng magulang, sumunod kayo. Kaya nga kita ginugulpin eh. Kasi dapat sumunod ka. Effective ba yun?
Hindi. Dapat may positive reinforcement din.
Eh kasi nga, desperado na yung mga Pharisees. Kailangan dumating na ang resurrection na to.
Kasi kawawa na sila. Ayaw na nila ng hundreds of years na silang under somebody else's boot.
Kaya ang sagot nila, reign of terror. Eh ngayon, may mga Gentiles na nagiging Christians. Sa simula pa lang, Jews eh. Jews na nagiging Christians. Eh ang tingin nila sa teachings ni Jesus, heresy. Kapag sumunod dyan sila sa heretical teachings ng Jesus na yan, lalong hindi natin ma-experience ang resurrection.
Hindi dadating yung Messiah.
Hindi siya darating. This age that we've been all looking forward to, matitili na namang gawa ninyo. Kaya ngayon, ang sagot nila, patayin. Yun ang mentalidad nila. Now, bigbigay din ako ng libro na pwede niyong basahin para maintindihan niyo yung mga background na yan. Timothy Gombis, ito yung libro na ang title ay Power in Weakness. Kasi maganda yung libro na yan dahil itong trend na to ng coercion, using of force, nangyayari pa rin sa church ngayon eh. That's why there are lots of cases ng spiritual abuse. So, just to give you an idea, kaya nakapasok yan, yung persecution.
He's saying here, sa CV niya, kita mo to ah, kung gano'ng ka zealous ako in trying to live according to the purity of being a Hebrew.
Oo, and the law.
Hebrew of Hebrews na talaga to.
Yan. So ngayon, pag yan nahigitan nyo pa yan, aba, bibilib ako sa inyo. Pero sa palagay ko, hindi nyo ako mahigitan eh. And there's, I think, another reason why he presented the CV. Because in the Greco-Roman world, ano bang mahalaga?
Reputation, ngayon, glory, honor.
Honor. Ngayon, sabi niya, kung honor at honor din lang.
Marami ako niyan.
Marami ako niyan. However,
ito na.
In verse 7.
Verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ.
Interesting yung sa net, but these assets I have come to regard as liabilities because of Christ.
Tama rin yan.
It's a very accounting terms.
Because that is the language used in verse 7. It's business. Kaya yung pinupuntirya kanina ni Gunnar na transaction, andito yan.
Yeah.
Meron di bang saying that the value of assets is always assessed in light of business objectives.
Mm.
It's in light light of business objectives. Nilatag ko lahat ng assets ko. But why am I saying wala na ito?
Because the metrics are different.
Yes, and because my business, in quotes, objectives are now different.
Yeah.
It no longer fits the original ko na agenda. Magkasalungat na sila ng original agenda.
Hindi na siya relevant.
Hindi na. Yeah. Because now, this is not for me anymore. Everything is for the sake of Christ. My objective now is Christ. It's for His sake. Kaya itutuloy natin yan sa susunod na episode. Yung kahalaga at yung implications niyan. But for now, ano ba yung mahalaga dito? Ano ba yung mga takeaways natin?
I love this thing, verse 7, yung assets and liabilities.
Uh-huh.
And I love the yung sinabi mong definition of it, yung in regard to the business objectives.
Yes.
If we ask ourselves, ano ba ang primary purpose ng buhay ko? And I weigh everything that I have.
My assets.
Will I see na, wait a minute, hindi to in line dun sa business objectives ah. And kung marami ako nun, baka mali yung business objectives ko.
Baka.
Diba? If I've been living for self-glory, if I've been living for wealth, things that are not of Christ, maybe it's because my business was never about Christ after all.
Right. So worldly currency, ang mahalaga, yung ginawa ni Paul, pinakita niya ethnic claims, education, assets, o sa ibang tao naman yung kanilang economic, social, and political advantages. But if your goal is to know Christ, yung mga assets na yan, wala. Yes, they're assets, but they probably will not help you if your goal is to know Christ.
And related to that, before Christ, you know, wala talaga akong standing, wala akong mukhang ihaharap talaga sa Kanya. I have to come to Him with nothing on my hands. Kasi hindi nagmamatter yun eh.
Yeah.
Matalino ka, pogi ka, wala yun. Wala kay Jesus yun. Hindi siya tumitingin. Tinitignan niya kung ano yung nasa puso. Do we trust Him? You know, I try to live by this. Wala ka talagang confidence in anything sa buhay mo, whether in this life or the next. Wala kang confidence in anything apart from Jesus. Sinabi niya, hindi kanya mababayaan. Just hold on to that. And
yeah.
Wala kang pwedeng igawin para to make it even more sure. Kasi yung promise pa lang niya, yun na yung pinaka-sure sa lahat ng sure. Wala ka nang magagawa to move the needle more in your favor.
Sa akin, mahalaga itong nagbigay siya ng CV, itong si Paul. Kasi minsan, for us, even when we choose pastors in our church, mahalaga na may CV. And I understand, we appreciate that. At ang kadalasan, kailangan mong pastor has rhetorical skills.
Yeah, of course.
Importante lang. Although, minsan dumarating sa punto na, I want someone like that because I want to be entertained every Sunday. I'm not saying hindi mahalaga ang mga credentials. Mahalaga yan. But for me, I am not interested in a pastor who will entertain me every Sunday. Hindi yun ang standard ko eh. I want to see a shepherd. I want to see a servant. One who truly loves the Lord.
And I think that's amazing kasi may tali siya dun sa last episode natin with Epaphroditus. Yeah. Yung pinaka-importante nga kay Paul is that this guy, kita ko yung puso niya.
It's
a shepherd because he is just like the good shepherd who is willing to give his life for the sheep. That's why malaki yung tiwala niya na this guy is gonna be good. And I mean, as you said nga, the credentials are great. Siyempre kailangan mag-aral. Pero baka kasi yun ang nangyari is that the CV, that's the primary thing we're looking for in the CV.
It's
the heart. Lang yung shepherd siya.
Kasi yung heart yung nagdidirect ng CV na yun.
Exactly.
It's glorious use. Basta kahit anong laman ng CV mo, basta yung CV na yun is being used for the purpose of Jesus.
Oo.
So that was Philippians 3:1-7. So we're going to shift modes when we go for the next episode. 7-14.
Yes.
So till then, thanks a lot and God bless.
Bye-bye.
God bless. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the UCM Interface Bible Study Podcast. If you want to know more about our ministry, check out the UCM Interface Facebook page or email us at ucminterface@gmail.com. Join us at Union Church of Manila, Radak, Corner Legazpi, Makati City. Thanks and God bless.